TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Deidre Bayer and Jackie Moran. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi, everyone. I am so happy to be back with my girls, Deidre and Jackie, talking about all the Roni drama.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have quite a conversation in store for you about our favorite housewife, that is Simon. Deidre, are you ready?
Favorite house husband, like, for sure. I cannot wait to get into this.
Deidre, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. So I figure, since we all have such passionate feelings about Simon, our favorite housewife here on Roni.
Yes.
I'm going to save that, make our viewers wait a little bit, and let's get into first a little bit of Sonia and Ramona, just because besides my favorite part of Simon and all his fabulosity, I really was very pleasantly surprised by Ramona this episode, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Two reasons. One is the surprise party that she threw for Sonia, and the other was the way she handled talking to Jill at the party. So guys, what did you think about this? Deidre, what do you think?
Okay, Ramona gets like 17 gold stars from me for her behavior in this episode. What a changed woman. I was so pleasantly surprised when I was watching this. You know, usually it'd be a Pinot-fueled sort of drama fest, and I totally was just ready for her to attack Jill with guns blazing at the party. But she was so sophisticated and nice and, like, even-tempered when she confronted her. Assertively, definitely, but not aggressively. And I just thought that it was really, really wonderful. And then the whole throwing the party for not just herself but also for Sonia, I really tipped my hat to her because it was very selfless. Knowing Ramona, she probably would have loved to have soaked in the spotlight, you know, my birthday and all about her. But she lovingly and genuinely wanted to share it with Sonia. I thought that was fantastic.
I have to agree. I think that the surprise party was amazing. I really genuinely felt, whether she was being genuine or not, I hope she was, I really genuinely felt like Ramona really cares about Sonia, and she does need a friend. She needs support. She needs to be uplifted right now with everything she's going through, which I think we'll get to that also, because I genuinely feel that Sonia is going through a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel for her. I think Ramona really came in like the hero here and looked great. All the ladies, I think, looked great at the party. I think the slideshow was adorable. The only thing I'll say, and it wouldn't be Ramona if there wasn't a moment like this, was anybody else feeling like the surprise moment was a little awkward? Like, I feel like Ramona right at the moment was grabbing Alex by the arm and ordering everybody around, and then even ordering Sonia around when she first walked in. But I feel like that wouldn't be Ramona if she didn't have her moments like that. But overall, I really did love Ramona here, and I totally agree on the Jill front. She handled it very maturely and really actually, I think, made Jill sort of eat her words or just eat her actions by being like, you're right, I'll learn from this and do it the right way next time. And I like that.
Yeah, actually, that's funny you said that about the surprise, though, Jackie, because I wrote in my notes, shouldn't they have yelled surprise or something? It was kind of like she walked in. But regardless of that, I thought that the good intentions were there. The slideshow was very sweet. And what she said to Sonia when she walked in, she said, you know, I love you like a sister, you're the light of my life, and I thought that was great. And then when she was with Jill and she brought up the fact that Jill purposely did not invite her to the hosiery party, which I think Jill gave a stupid excuse, and I don't know why they give excuses like that, because she's obviously caught on camera the episodes before specifically saying why she didn't invite Ramona, yet she tells Ramona to her face that it was like someone else in the company suggested she not invite her. I don't know.
She said her partner had an issue with it.
Yeah, someone else had an issue with it. So I think that's a cop-out. But the fact that Ramona brought it up so well and she said, you know, she called out in a nice way, and people respond to that, and even Jill responds to that. So I thought that was great.
I thought the slideshow was particularly just awesome. The fact that Ramona had to go sneakily behind Sonia's back to get all those vintage photos, I think it really just sort of did it for Sonia. Like, the party was all great and swell, and there was all those people there, and she was totally moved by it. But just being in that room, just in the privacy of just their own company, Mario and Ramona's company, I think she was just dying over the amazing slideshow that they put together. So really nice job, Ramona, if you're listening. We're very proud of you.
Yes, and can I just add that Mario was hot. He really did look like JFK or JFK Jr. I mean, they were Ramona's body was hot. Besides, the hairstyles and everything, they were looking good in those photos.
I agree 100%.
I totally love seeing those photos. I thought, geez, Ramona had a hot body. Like, because sometimes I wonder, because Mario's aged very well, and I'm not saying Ramona hasn't, but Mario, usually men kind of look a little bit younger as they get, you know, I don't know. But anyways, I saw the attraction. Like, I saw when they were younger, like, oh, wow, they were both really, really good looking. And I liked seeing Sonia's wedding pictures and everything, which only made it sadder seeing those wedding pictures and her in her happier moments to see her down in this episode. And let me know if you guys agree with me. I feel like she's so lonely and so needing to lean on someone and wanting a friend that Sonia will almost, and wanting a friend that's not like a housewife or looking for something else, she's almost bearing her soul to anyone who will listen. Like, I felt like when the plumber came over, she was like talking about not having help anymore. And then when the feng shui expert came over, she was like, obviously with feng shui, you have to talk a little bit about what's going on in your life, but she really bared her soul and she was crying, saying, people want to see me fall. And, you know, I just felt really bad for her here.
100%. I mean, I think in times of serious, serious crisis, you know, regarding whatever it may be, obviously in her case, financial, I think she's just in a really, really deep, dark place. And I'm not 100% sure that having these Bravo cameras on her at all times is helping the situation, because it's just magnifying how bad it truly is. But, you know, Sonia is quirky and we love her for that. I thought it was sort of sweet that she was opening up and being very candid and very honest. She knew the cameras were rolling. And, you know, the feng shui expert, was that like a friend of hers? It looked like they kind of knew each other. So maybe that wasn't as weird as maybe opening up to the plumber per se. But, you know, it's Sonia, and I think she's getting through it, and hopefully having, you know, not necessarily all the women, but definitely Ramona is a good support system for her, and she's getting through it as best she can.
I think with Sonia, however she acts when she's in a good mood is sort of worth seeing how she also acts when she's in a sad mood, because I feel like when she's in a good mood, it's like all silly and things fly out of her mouth and, you know, she doesn't control herself, which was what I think what we love about her. And I think we're seeing that on the flip side where she's just kind of letting her emotions fly out of her mouth. And, you know, I feel like there were pushed moments, like when she pulled the BlackBerry out of the toilet, like that had to be fixed, because otherwise why would you have a BlackBerry stuck in your toilet?
Right.
But, you know, and the feng shui expert, you almost hope that it's a friend, because if she is in this serious financial issue, why would she be paying of all kinds of healers? Like, I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to be using your money, I don't feel like this is the time to call in a feng shui expert. But other than that, you know, you have to feel for her, and you can see her emotions just flying out of her mouth. And you're right, with the cameras there, they're just bound to catch it.
Totally.
I knew someone would bring that up, with the fact of, like, why, if she has financial issues, is she spending money on a feng shui expert? I don't think it's a friend. but I don't think she's spending money on it because she's on Real Housewives, the feng shui expert. Like, that's free publicity for her.
Totally,
so
yeah.
All she could say is, I'm on the Real Housewives, I want you to come, and it's going to be free of charge. So I thought, like, oh, some viewers might think, like, why is she spending her money so frivolously, but I highly doubt she's spending any money on it. But at the same time, I don't think that that was a friend, which almost makes it even sadder, the fact that she was bearing her soul so much.
She's like,
yeah, I agree.
I do respect her, though, for being an open book. I think, obviously, maybe not on the level of however many millions and millions of dollars she's in debt. But with the recession and everything, I think people can relate to that. And I think I maybe have made this point before, but it's nice to see that these women are relatable to the average person. If everything was all yachts in the south of France and caviar and chic c'est la vie, you know what I mean? I think people would maybe not turn a cheek, but it just be like, okay, same old, like, rich, gaudy nonsense. I think Sonia definitely gets another star next to her name for opening up during this really, really tough time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I really don't think for once that it's fixed. I really think that she is being genuine about this whole situation, you know, calling in certain people, whatever. You could tell that these emotions are real and this is happening and so she's really going through something. And I really do give her a lot of credit for just being herself and whatever, as she said, she's on one side of the circle, she hopes to be on the other side, and I think everybody's rooting for her to get back to that place, you know?
I know we are.
We are.
Well, I know what we're rooting for. I know what I've been rooting for this entire season, and that was to see more Simon, which is what I got this episode.
Wish granted.
Time to discuss our favorite house husband, who I'm just going to call him a housewife with quotes around the wife, because that's what he is to me. So let me tell you a little bit about my thoughts on Simon, and Deidre, who is the biggest Simon fan, I know I can't wait to hear yours, but seriously, for once, I actually agreed with Luann on everything, because Luann was saying it's creepy. He's using the housewives to further his career, and she tells Jill not to give Simon the time of day, and it's weird that he's so involved with her friends. I actually agree with her on all that, but I love that he does it. He's so funny. Like, who does that? He went up to Jill, and he says, we need to have a lunch, which I agree. It is weird to ask someone else's wife out to lunch. And then this whole mean tweeting, which we're adding that verb to our AfterBuzz vocabulary, mean tweeting, is hysterical to me. And I agree with the brunettes that it's probably he wants the attention and he wants to build his social media business. So he is, you know, tweeting at Kelly and Jill to stir up drama. But you know what? I'm so glad he does it. So that's my take. That's my take on my fabulous Simon.
Okay, I definitely agree with you there. The reason that I am forever in love with Simon is because he brings the good drama. He brings the entertainment value. He's caught my eye more than pretty much any other person on the show. I would definitely say he's the craziest out of all the, quote, housewives. What I do have a problem with, though, is instigators. House husbands, housewives, girls, boys, whatever. I don't like instigators. I think stirring the pot is never necessary. And I'm all about, like, mature conflict resolution. I think Simon's intentions were good. It's just entirely inappropriate to, like, I agree with Kelly. She kept saying it was inappropriate to ask someone's wife to lunch to squash a conflict that doesn't involve him. It involved Alex and Jill. It didn't involve Simon in the slightest. So I loved when Jill was like, think of it this way. What if Bobby had asked Alex out to lunch? Like, how would you feel about it? And I think he just kind of was like, I don't care. That's fine. But, you know, that's not how the world functions. We don't work like that. And it is weird. And I'm glad that Jill said something and said, ultimately, I'm not going to lunch with you. I don't have a problem with you. Whatever it is, let's just keep it in the past. Of course, typical Simon, he's just loopy and in La La Land, and he doesn't really give you too much to work with in that situation. But nonetheless, I'm just really glad at the end of the day that he's getting more camera time.
Well, I have, you know, I'm surprised to hear you say your opinion of him, Deirdre. I thought you would defend him more because you guys might be surprised with, like, my thoughts on this, which is the fact that I do have a lot of issues with Simon. First of all, his muumuu wearing, okay? Major issue. Don't wear so many muumuus to so many events. I also have a major issue with him attending a bikini bejeweling party, okay? My boyfriend would never in a million years attend that affair with me.
Right.
I have a major issue with him approaching Jill and, you know, asking her to lunch. Definitely, again, not something a house husband should be doing. But, and he walked right into it. He asked for it by doing that. But I don't think I buy him as a cyberbully. I really, you know, it almost took a turn where Jill and Kelly, like, jumped on it and turned him into this crazy cyberbully. And, you know, Alex actually, if I checked out their blogs because I was really curious to see what they would have to say about it. And I love, Alex basically called out Kelly, and I think this is a very interesting tidbit that might change your opinions, that Simon helped Kelly actually change her Twitter handle recently when she got into some trouble with her Twitter. So, you know, hearing that and sort of looking at the way Jill and Kelly took off with it, I don't really buy the cyberbully part of it. But there was so much wrong with what Simon does and did here, but I just don't buy him as a cyberbully.
I don't think he's a cyberbully. He stirs the pot with his tweeting, but that's not, he's not saying, like, you know, I don't think he's a cyberbully. So I agree with you on that. And the thing is, though, I like that he stirs the pot. I like the drama. I like that we have this house husband because it brings on more entertainment. But the one thing I'm not so sure about is the fact that Alex so staunchly won't temper her husband. And they keep saying to her, like, you know, get involved, you know, like, tell him to stop doing this. And she is taking it to the point of, if Jill is refusing to talk to Simon, then Alex will refuse to talk to Jill. So the one thing I think it's weird that he's so involved in her friendship and that she, obviously you're going to stick up for your husband, but I don't know. How could she not see through that?
Yeah, 100%. I think you obviously love your husband and you have loyalty to him. But, I mean, your friendships with your girlfriends are between you and your girlfriends. I've never, ever had a boyfriend in the past who's, like, meddled in my relationships with, like, my girlfriends or who's tried to instigate little things. I think it's completely bizarre and I think he needs to find a new hobby because if Alex is happy and she doesn't have drama with Jill anymore, I don't understand what the need for this like lunch would have been to begin with. So I think Simon is looking, like you said before, to promote his brand, his business, his name, anything. I mean, isn't that the reason why he put out that single to begin with? He's looking for publicity. He likes the drama. He likes the cameras. He likes the attention on him. So even if he looks like a fool on TV, I don't think he necessarily cares. He just wants the camera time.
Right. Well, I have to call out Jill for being all involved with the husbands here because we're seeing this. We're hearing in the news last week with all the Mario you know, whatever happened at that party, which we think we know, but there's words on both sides, her and Mario getting into it. What's going on with Jill that she's, like, all up in the husband's business? I mean, she's fighting with all the husbands all of a sudden. So, I don't know. I mean, I think Alex is put in a bad position here.
You know, after hearing you guys talk about Simon, I hate to make this comparison because I love Simon, but I hate this next person.
Spencer Pratt.
How did you know?
I thought this same thing when I was watching TV earlier. I don't know if anybody listening is a Hills fan, but I was such a huge Hills fan like throughout college. And literally, Spencer constantly meddling in Heidi's relationships with Lauren and Audrina and all the other girls on the show is completely reminiscent of Simon meddling in Alex's relationships with Jill and Kelly.
Constantly trying to seek attention.
100%.
And to promote himself.
Oh my God, that's too funny that you had that thought as well.
The thing is, I hate Spencer, and I hate the way he does it.
Wait, you hate the way that Simon does it?
I mean, no. I hated the way that Spencer did it. I hate Spencer Pratt. I hate what he did, and I really dislike him as a person. I think he's a tool.
Yeah.
Yet, I see what Simon is doing, yet I like Simon because he's so fabulously gay about it. So I think that's why I like it.
And I think Spencer's just an evil seed at the end of the day. I think Simon's probably a good father, and he's a very loyal and loving husband. And for the most part, we don't hear too much about him destroying relationships between the women and whatnot. This might be just an isolated event. Who knows how much producer storyline has been involved in the making of all this drama. I don't think Simon's a bad person at the end of the day. I just think the way that he executes what he does is completely laughable and ridiculous.
I have to agree. Now that you guys said it, I totally see the Spencer Pratt comparison. And you're right. Spencer Pratt is just not likable on any level. And I can't believe that I'm actually saying this, but you're right. Simon, at the end of the day, there is something likable about him.
What? Yes.
I really don't want to be saying that, but it's true.
Well, it's because Spencer went around saying, I'm the king of Hollywood. I'm the king of America. You're going to love me. I'm the most famous person in the world. Simon's never done any of that. He's just, it's not malicious, whatever he's doing. He's putting out a single with hopes of becoming, you know, more of attaining more like recognition on a national level. Spencer just went about it in a way more obnoxious and unlikable manner.
He went about it in a way more extreme level. Like making a music video, fine, but like Simon would never ask Alex to have 10 plastic surgeries in a day to lay on the cover of People magazine.
Oh my gosh, preach, girlfriend. I completely agree.
Okay, can we talk about my other favorite character this episode? Besides Simon, is Crazy Kelly. And that's a character. There's Kelly, and then there's Crazy Kelly. And this episode, there was Crazy Kelly. And I'm talking about her lunch with Alex.
Yes.
When she called her to discuss, sets up a lunch to discuss his mean tweeting. And Kelly gets to the point where you think she's making sense, and you totally understand, like, why she called the lunch. And then she just veers off into a weird place. Like, she starts talking about how she's always sticking up for Alex, and then she says, I want to check in to see how you are. And my favorite of favorites was, can you stop being red? It's bothering me.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What? What are you talking about? How do you stop her from being red? And then the best comment of this entire season, the best comment: Simon is a pageant dad, and Alex is his six-year-old daughter. So dead on, Crazy Kelly. I love it.
Agreed, 100%. I wrote that quote down because I loved it so much. What better comparison is there than Simon being the pageant dad and then dressing up his little six-year-old? If you guys remember back like a few seasons ago, I believe they were in St. Bart's or they were in France, and Simon was literally, I mean, I'm sure he's done it multiple times, but I just remember him sitting in a store for like 3 hours watching Alex try on like various couture gowns, and he was like enjoying it way more than she was, which is bizarre on many levels. But as far as that lunch is concerned, Kelly didn't, you know, I'm the biggest Kelly fan in the world, but I didn't appreciate that she didn't let Alex get a word in. Alex kept trying to interject and give her 2 cents, and Kelly just does the whole no, you need to stop. Okay, no, you're not listening. It's like, okay, Kelly, let her get a word in, please. And then I also didn't appreciate the little digs that she took at her. She was like, you know, Alex, I always stick up for you. You have to live in Brooklyn and you have 2 kids. Like, she was saying that having 2 kids and living in Brooklyn is a bad thing or something. So asking her to, readjust her hormone levels so she doesn't turn red, all completely peculiar, really bizarre, unwarranted things coming out of Kelly. Not her finest moment.
I have to agree. She's definitely Crazy Kelly, and while at times it is laughable, she really got on my nerves in this scene. I actually, you're right, like her talking over Alex and going into that Crazy Kelly mode, it wasn't funny to me this time. It was annoying, and I really think that Alex had said this on vacation, and she's right, where when she wants to shut down, she thinks everybody else has to shut down. So she, like, did not even give Alex a chance to talk. If I were Alex, I probably would have gotten up and left. But you can tell that Alex, and she actually says this in her blog also, that she's not good at fighting because she doesn't want to get dirty or whatever. And you could see that in Alex. Like, and I think that's why she was getting red, because she was getting so frustrated, but she couldn't even get anything out there. And so I have to say, I really felt like she was definitely Crazy Kelly, but I have to say, it really annoyed me. And then, of course, to just complete the picture, her blog, I was curious to see what she would say. And, of course, Kelly goes, we need the cyber police. Like, that's basically all she wrote. So, Kelly, I just don't know. I mean, is she crazy? Like, what, or is that just, like, yes, her passive-aggressive way of being rude? What, like, what's going on with her?
She's just crazy because, like, sometimes I understand her logic and then she just veers off into crazy land. Like, I understand why she would call Alex to the lunch. She verbalized some of it. She said, you know, he mean tweets me and it hurts my feelings and I'm asking you to get involved to tell him to stop. You know what? I think that is all totally legit. But then when she, like, got into the weird passive aggressiveness and then the threats and saying you're going to ice yourself out and then telling her to stop being red, that's when it just went into, like, cuckoo land.
Do you know specifically the things that Simon was tweeting to Kelly to upset her so much?
Apparently, I don't know if you have more on this, Mari, but I believe he just, all I know was more about, I feel like Kelly just jumped on the bandwagon. I know that he said with Jill, like, it's not over yet, and, like, you know, which I don't even take as a threat, but I know that came up. But I'm not even sure what he did to Kelly, and apparently
he helped
her. It's
not even cyberbullying. He just uses their names. He tweets at them, or he mentions them, you know, like, in his tweets. It's like he's not even really saying anything that bad. He's just using their names, like, to get more followers or to, like, you know, like, he's not even saying anything that bad. She's just, like Kelly said, I don't want him to be tweeting about me at all. I'm not a celebrity. So it's like the fact that he's tweeting about her, he's not saying anything bad.
See, I'm just sort of torn on that because half of me thinks, yeah, you should keep her name out of your mouth. You're not friends with her. Why are you running your mouth publicly? However, one time that I was here at AfterBuzz, Maria Menounos was here, and she was telling me how she loves getting into it with her haters over Twitter, and she will legitimately respond to them and go back and forth with them until they can understand, like, why she did whatever she did that they were angry about in the first place, and then they can, like, peacefully reach, you know, some sort of a conclusion. If Kelly signs up to be on Bravo and to be on national television and she knows what she's getting herself into, especially she knows who Simon is, he's been on the show since day one, I don't know. I think she should sort of have more, like, cojones to deal with it. It's not like he's, like, threatening her or, like, making violent passes at her. You know what I mean? Who cares? Part of me thinks that she should just grow up and get over this whole cyberbullying if he's not actually threatening her in some way.
Right. It's actually their job to tweet and build up Bravo and create this buzz. And, you know, Simon is involved in the show. He's on the show. So it'd be like Ramona or any of the other ladies. Jill calls out all of these people in her Twitter all the time.
Totally, so, right?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't get how this episode shaped up this way because I really don't see Simon as outwardly, you know, attacking them.
My idea of cyberbullying is...
Sorry, go on, Deidre.
No, I was just going to say, my idea of cyberbullying is two kids in seventh grade, like, attacking each other for, like, physical attributes or saying, I'm going to beat you up at school tomorrow. If Simon's just basically tweeting at Kelly Ben Simone, hey, I'm going to get more followers and I'm tweeting you right now, or hey, you're sort of kooky, that's all, like... That's all public domain knowledge. He's not doing anything antagonistic, in my opinion. Granted, I don't know exactly what he's tweeting at her, but if it's like what you guys are saying, if it's just him using her name to get more followers, who cares?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I'm not sure why they made such a big deal, but I'm glad they did, because to me, the more Simon in the show, the better.
That's the thesis.
Before we get to a quick commercial break and news and gossip, I just want to talk about one last segment on the show. I hate to say this just because, like, it's not our right to say this, but they kind of, like, the producers did a segment on Cindy, and they really put her in a bad light and kind of showed her to be a bad mom. She brought only one of the twins to lunch with her parents, and it she couldn't handle the child alone, and she called someone to take the daughter from her, and then she's talking about all these trips and vacations she wants to go on without her children. And it's like, I do kind of think it's a little crazy in the way her parenting, and but I also think that it's not our right to judge, and that the producers are putting her in a bad light. And like you said in your last week's news and gossip, that she probably isn't joining the show next season, this very well could be a reason why, because I'm sure she's not happy with the way that she's been presented.
100%. I think that that scene, obviously, to three people like ourselves here, we understand that it's just one small segment in the whole grand scheme of things. But maybe to some other people who aren't fans of the show or don't really understand the way that reality TV works, they see this one scene and they automatically think that that's who she is, that she's just this like, oh, I can't be bothered. I'd rather just be having a nice lunch. Can somebody please take my child for me? She sort of seems like a dismissive mother who can't be bothered. So I don't appreciate that scene for that reason, and also just because it was boring. There was nothing to that scene. There was no content. Nothing was established. She was like talking about her travel itinerary. I'm sure they have way better footage in their on their cutting room floor. I don't know why that scene got used in the first place.
Yeah, I totally agree on this, and I'm glad you called that out, Mari. I really do think that it's reasons like this why something's going on with Cindy for next season, because, you know, you sign on to a show, and basically you're led to believe that no matter what, exposure is a positive thing. But I really would like to know if Cindy is watching this season, and if she, in fact, doesn't return next season, I'd really like to know if, like, a scene like this would make her regret signing on in the first place, especially if she's not going to return.
Yeah, well, we'll have to watch to see her decision on whether she's returning for the next season. But why don't we get into a commercial break before we return news and gossip?
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Okay, so let's get into some news and gossip for this week.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So I hate to report this only because we've honestly done a different one every week, and this case seems to be getting worse and worse, but Sonia Morgan now may lose her home, which is the one thing this season that she's discussed several times, that like that her home is her life, and that's the one thing she doesn't want to lose. The bankrupt reality vixen is locked in a bitter court battle, as we know, with her 80-year-old ex-husband, John Adams Morgan, over a $3 million divorce settlement, and this is on top of the bankruptcy that we've already been discussing. So she may be forced to sell off her gorgeous $6 million New York City townhouse in order to gain some cash. So this is sad, and also, this is the first time I found out that I knew her ex-husband was older than her, but 80 years old? He's a lot older than her, so I hate to think she's a gold digger, but yeah.
That was 100% my first thought when you sent the news over earlier. I saw the number 80, and I was like, wow. I mean, is Sonia 50? I don't know exactly how old she is. Is she like 45 or 50?
She's in her 50, early 50s.
Okay.
And she has a daughter as well who's in fourth grade. She's in her late 40s, early 50s, but I'm pretty sure she's beyond 50.
So there's quite a substantial age gap between the two of them there. Let's hope that she married him for love, not an Anna Nicole Smith sort of a situation. But, Lord, I hope she can keep that damn house. She's put so much love and time and dedication into it, and she stuck her hand down the toilet to get her BlackBerry. I mean, there's like some serious baggage that she's got with that house, and I would be so sad to see her lose the one thing that she still has and the one thing that still seems constant in her life. So hopefully it won't amount to that and she can get something else figured out instead.
I agree. I think it would be really sad if she lost her house. But I think what's even more sad is that all three of us, I think, picked up on the 80-year-old part more than any other part of the story, because it was the first thing I thought about, too. I was like, whoa, gold digger. So, that just sounds really old on paper. Let's just hope there was more to the story there.
It does sound old.
And now
sorry. No, I was just going to say,
no, Deidre, go on.
If you're 30 years old and you're marrying a 60-year-old man, that just sounds, it's not something I would do. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Well, who are we to say love is blind, love is blind?
Well put, yep.
But I am very excited to hold this last piece of news and gossip on the music video. I'm not sure if you guys discussed it last week while I was vacationing in Saint-Tropez, but even in Saint-Tropez, Countess Luann's music video made it all the way there. I saw it on the news there, and I was like, oh my God. Countess Luann, she came out with Chic C'est La Vie, and now, I don't know if you guys noticed in the video, she had blonde locks. She's apparently keeping them, and so now she's not on Team Blonde for real, but technically she's blonde now. And that music video, the lyrics, everything, I loved it. It was hysterical, but it made me like her less. And not because of the fact that she's doing a music video, but because I think she's a hypocrite. Because she talks all about, like, class and everything and not using other people. And, like, the fact that she, like, is doing a music video about, like, housewives and all the lyrics, like, she can't think that these are good songs. Like, she can't honestly think that. So, I don't know. I think it's a little classless, but it's hysterical to watch.
I agreed. I definitely loved it. Catchy melody. My sister and I were like hysterically peeing in our pants laughing while we were watching it. Great entertainment value. However, I do agree with you for the same reason that I don't think rappers should be rapping about, you know, big houses and my car and my caviar and this. I think it's tacky to be talking about your material possessions in such like a blatant manner. And if you really are classy, you don't talk about the things that you have or the things that you don't have. And all she's doing is running around talking about private jets and caviar. It's like, okay, we get it. We heard it in Money Can't Buy You Class, and we're hearing it now again. I think we got the point. Thanks, Countess.
Honestly, when we talk about characters not returning next season, what I would hope never returns is Luann the musician. Like, seriously, I just cannot. We talk about Crazy Kelly coming out as her own character. Like, the headdress last week and the performance at Jill's surprise party. You honestly, Deidre, you know, like, I cannot handle her. I really, like, I think she's actually worse than Simon in his music videos. If that's possible.
Yeah, I think it is. I think she sealed the deal with this one.
Even that she's singing about all these luxuries. It's that she was calling out Simon this episode for using the housewives to promote his career. And what is she doing? She has all the housewives in her video. She has lyrics calling them each out in her video. Is that not the definition of using them to promote her music career? And that's what I don't like. She is a hypocrite.
Totally, because if she was really trying to do music on her own, she'd be just by herself. And then we saw in the teaser for next week, I'm sure we'll get into that in a minute, but she like threw a hissy fit that not everybody wanted to participate. Only two of them. She only got two of them to help her promote.
Let's get into our predictions for next week, because you mentioned it, Deidre, but I can't wait to tell you my prediction. Okay, well, I thought there was going to be the creepy music.
Oh, there it is.
The futuristic predictions, creepy music.
TV predictions.
There we go.
There it is.
Okay, so the music video, it's here. All I wrote in my notes was, OMG, the music video is here. Yes, drama, drama. Because Sonia doesn't want to go to the music video. Alex doesn't want to be in the music video. And I just can't wait. When I saw the video, I was like, oh my God, what is this?
so I'm very happy to have a whole episode devoted to the making of.
Can you blame those women for not wanting to participate in it? I saw Ramona really quickly said, I have a daughter. I don't want to be in your damn music video. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to be in her music video either. Talking about, you know, not necessarily like, you know, irresponsible drinking or whatever, but I see what Ramona's saying. She has a young daughter. She doesn't want to be in some crazy, weird music video. And I can't wait to see the full, 45-minute episode unravel next week so we can see truly how it all went down.
Honestly, I have to say that I'm going to have to force myself to watch next week because a whole episode dedicated to her music video is just more torture. But I do have to say that what will get me excited is watching all of the girls turn her down and having her have a hissy fit over it. That will make it worthwhile television for me.
100%. Seeing her explode over someone telling her no.
Right.
And besides that drama, I think Sonia and Cindy will get into it once again, even though I thought the hatchet was buried this episode. But Deidre and Jackie, I cannot wait to discuss the music video drama with you next week, and thank you for joining me this week. Although I had a nice time in Saint-Tropez, I'm happy to be back with my girls.
Yay, we're glad you're back. Can't wait for next week.
Can't wait, guys.
Okay.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.